Father, we thank you so much for this afternoon because we recognize that you are more than enough. We recognize, Lord, that when we have you, there's not much else that we need. That you are everything and that you are more than enough. We pray, Lord, that our lives will be filled with you. We pray, Lord, that your blessing will rest upon us as our lives are filled with more and more and more and more of you. Thank you, Lord, for Father's Day. You are the greatest Father, and we say happy Father's Day to you. We thank you, Lord, for birthing us in Christ. We thank you for birthing us into this church. Thank you for giving birth to another church here in Rancho. And thank you for the future of this church. All that you have in store for us, Lord, we pray that only your will be done among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Are you blessed this Father's Day? Wow. Well, happy Father's Day to all of you. Amen. And I believe the day is coming. We're going to have many, many, many more fathers in our midst. Do you believe it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That means we're going to have multiple rooms for the children's service. Hallelujah. So, I want to share with you a little bit about fathers today.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
So that it's Father's Day, just good for the occasion. Amen.
Amen.
Right. So I'm going to share with you three blessings that come upon you when we honor our fathers. Three rewards for honoring fathers. Hallelujah. Three different rewards that come to people who honor fathers. Amen. Now, honor your father, the Bible says, is the first commandment with a promise. In other words, it's the first instruction that God gives that comes or is immediately followed by a specific reward. Amen. All the other instructions, or there may be others that come also like that, but typically the instructions of God are given, do you see, and they invoke a general blessing upon a person's life. But this one in particular, God says if you do it, it confers a certain blessing upon your life. And if you don't do it, it takes away a certain blessing also from your life. Hallelujah. And there are so many different kinds of fathers that you will encounter across your life. You will find that there are more fathers than your biological father. The more common type of father is the biological father, do you see? But as you go along in life, you will realize that God fills your life with more fathers than a biological one. People who become to you and people who fill up the gaps that are left by your imperfect biological father. if he was present at all. Hallelujah. And God expects you to have a certain relationship with these people. Amen. That relationship is one of honor. That is to honor them, to hold them in high esteem, not because they are perfect people. Do you see? God understands that as long as your father is a human being, you're not likely to get a perfect one. Amen. But your duty to honor a father does not arise out of his perfection. That means he does not deserve your honor because he never made a mistake. He doesn't deserve your honor because he never did something wrong or because you were never angry at him. Hallelujah. Amen. Or he was never angry at you. Do you see? Now, one of the ways the devil fights people and to gain spiritual access to their lives is to distort the relationship between them and their father. So that right from the beginning, you're fighting from the negative end. Do you see? You start from a minus and then you spend most of your life trying to come to zero and to enter something positive. And life, unfortunately, is often not long enough for someone to complete, you know, the journey from minus to neutral to start going up. You see, so just about when a person is going up, is ready, there's time to die. Do you see? Because by the time you really understand all of these things, then you realize that you've made a mistake with your whole life and that many things were not a big deal after all. Hallelujah. So teachings like this are intended to help you to be able to take skips and to be able to jump ahead and be able to advance yourself in this particular area. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So the scripture, common scripture that we all know, Ephesians chapter 6, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. Ephesians, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Hallelujah. It is the right thing to do. Amen. To obey your parents is the right thing to do. No matter what, no matter the circumstance, to obey your parents is the right thing to do. Amen.
Amen.
To obey your parents in the Lord is the right thing to do. Then verse 2 says that honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. This is the first commandment with promise. And what is the promise? That it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have never seen a verse so clear, you know, that explains how to live long. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, because apart from this verse, people try all kinds of things to try to achieve longevity on this earth. Do you understand? And I don't blame you because really, for the fact that a person has only one life, there seems to be too many ways to lose it. I mean, if you think about how many ways to lose a life, the number of ways, there's a program on TV I saw once, 1,000 Ways to Die. Have you seen that program before? There's just so many freaky ways to die. You know? Yeah, so many freaky ways to die. I mean, you can't even believe such freak accidents, freak situations, and people just die. You know, I saw one time where somebody had a pet snake in the house. Then this fellow went out and came back drunk and came to the house. And then he just came to lie on the couch or just on the floor somewhere. And then his own snake came and bit him. Yeah, but he was too drunk to do anything about it. And he just died. Yeah. Is it not amazing? It's fantastic. I mean, many crazy ways to lose your life. Do you see? So, you realize that everybody wants to live long. Because everybody realizes your life can just slip away. You think you have it, you think you are in control. But suddenly you just lose it. You know, you just lose it like that. And so we all try. See, so you see people going to the gym. You know, yeah. And you see people trying to eat right. See people trying to avoid eating all kinds of things. You get it? See people trying to, drinking eggs, raw eggs. Yeah, people drink raw, I can't even imagine it, but people do it. People drink raw eggs. People boil leaves, bitter leaves, and drink them morning, some in the morning, some in the evening. You know, so many different concoctions, do you see? But if you think of life like a room that has many windows, you know, for any particular method or any particular thing you do to help you live long, you know, what you really achieve is like blocking one of the windows. You see? So you just imagine that even if, look at this room and look at each of those squares, you know, imagine that each of those squares is an entrance into this room. You see? So when you take vitamins, you block one of them. Imagine that your vitamins have blocked the one in the top right-hand corner over there. Right. But that still leaves you with so many other ways to die. Including on the way to get the vitamins. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah? And when you go to the gym, you just block another one. You see what I'm saying? Yeah? So by the time you block them window after window, because then after that you have to also decide not to drive. You get it? Yeah. And then when you drive, sometimes you are obeying all the rules. Then you have this other fellow who does not obey the rules. Do you understand? Whom you don't know, whom you don't control. And then he runs the red light. He reads red as green. Do you see? And runs the red light, runs into you, and then you are dead. And he is alive. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's not to say that you shouldn't, you know, block the windows. Don't go home and say, well, the way it is now. There's no need to lock the doors. Just sleep. What will happen will happen. But the essence of what I'm sharing with you is that really life comes from God. Do you understand? Life comes from God. And it is only God who can extend your life by spiritual principles and by conferring. Oh, okay, just a little fresh air and then bring him back. Oh, it's Father's Day. You get to scream at your father. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God really is the source of life. Amen. And when you read a verse like this, we just read, that it may be well with you, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. See, this earth is something that you came to meet. You and I didn't create this earth. It is interesting how people, you know, come into this earth and live as though they are masters of it. You know, they live as though the earth actually revolves around them. Do you understand? That they are the source of sunshine and they regulate the moon and control the volume of oxygen that we get to breathe on this earth. Hallelujah. The Bible says we brought nothing into this world. You know, only a gatekeeper of the world can talk like that. It's like you brought nothing into this world and it is certain that you take nothing out of it. Imagine yourself entering a shop or some place, you know, where they, you know, sometimes you go into a shop and they let you leave your bag and everything because they don't want you to steal anything from the shop. So they take your bag from you, no bags allowed. Then when you enter, they take the bag from you. And you enter, as you are leaving, it's like there's a security man that announces to you that you brought nothing into this place. And it is certain that you are taking nothing out. Only someone who saw you enter and who will supervise your leaving can say something like that to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that person is God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't be too big. And don't feel too proud. Hallelujah. Humble yourself and learn what determines how long people get to live here on earth. And the rules that govern their well-being while they are living here. And the Bible says, if you honor your father and your mother, it will be well with you. He says, it will be well with you. Do you see? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Hallelujah. That thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, when you go back to the Old Testament, because this verse is actually from the Ten Commandments, isn't it? And when you go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, or even in Deuteronomy, you will see how this same commandment is given. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged. Amen. Thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Wow. So you see that it takes more than God giving you something. Do you see? It takes more than God giving you something. There are people who find themselves sometimes, let's say, with a talent, with a gift, with an ability that seems to be making you successful, or that promises to make you successful. Sometimes intelligence, sometimes smartness, you know, and connections, you know. Life has a way of sometimes placing people in good spots, you know, and then suddenly somebody who otherwise would have been a very ordinary person suddenly becomes extraordinary. You see? And so it looks like God has given you something. But the Bible says that even when God has given you something, you better watch out. Hallelujah. You better watch out. Because we all have heard stories about tragic endings of promising lives. Do you see? You see someone shooting up like a star, and he looks promising. And sometimes, recently when somebody passed, you know, like that, And I saw a lot of people were very shocked and very disappointed and so on. I was trying to figure out, why is it that so many people are talking about this one person who has died? And why is his death so tragic or so painful? Because people die every day. You see what I'm saying? Death is one of the commonest things. You hear about deaths as often as you hear about births. You get it? So I was just wondering, why is this person's departure so tragic, and why is everybody talking about it? You see, and then I realized that the tragedy of it is the promise of the person's life. The fact that the person is young and the person has just started life. He looks like he has a promising career ahead of him. He looks like he has everything everyone wants. He looks like he's doing very well. And then suddenly, he's cut off. Do you understand? Because death is not a respecter of promise. Do you understand? It doesn't go by who has a promising life and who doesn't have a promising life. Otherwise, there will be no beggars in the street. You see what I'm saying? Those beggars, because they don't have anything, they should even, you wonder, how do those people even live for years and years when they eat out of the garbage? And you are afraid to pick up something from the floor to eat. Isn't it? Yeah. You need to wash your hands before you eat. You sanitize them, put them in the washing machine, put them in the dryer. And clean and clean and clean and clean. Do you see? But they just pick up from the floor straight to the mouth.
Wow.
Pure organic. You see what I'm saying? And they get to live. Those people don't have a hospital. They don't have a doctor. They don't have insurance. They don't have anything. But you see them year after year after year after year after year living under that bridge. In the winter, in the summer, the guy is still there. And you see other people who are well provided for. They rather, their caskets drive past him all the time. See, life is mysterious, isn't it? There's a lot of great mystery in your life. That is why you should not be too presumptuous. You should not oversimplify what it takes to be around on this earth that you didn't create. This earth that you and I came to meet. There are rules that we have to respect. Hallelujah. And the maker of the heavens and earth has given us one of the clues for survival in his earth. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. When you go on a safari or even visit any kind of zoo, there are always rules. You see, because they are the ones who own the animals. They live with them. They know the nature. They own the park. They know what is in the park. You see, you are the visitor who has come to walk around here a little bit and will be going back soon. Do you understand? Yeah. And so when you enter their park, they give you a tip. You see, so that you can go around the park safely and have an enjoyable time and leave the park safely at the time you planned to leave. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But the rules are there and they know the things. And you are just like a visitor in this earth. But you seem to have come with your own rules. You see what I'm saying? Say, don't feed the lions. You have brought bread for the lions. Say, I am going to feed the lions. Say, don't feed the lions. You say, how? What do you mean I shouldn't feed the lions? I've brought bread. You get it? And jollof. And I am going to feed the lions and give them what I want them to eat. You see? And soon you will see that you are in trouble. And you see that your time in the park can be cut short prematurely. Someone who was supposed to be there for 2 hours will end up being there for 25 minutes because your time has been cut short because you didn't respect the rules and the tips that were given you by the maker of the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So a lot of promising lives, yes, they are promising. God gave them something, but they didn't respect what it takes for their days to be prolonged and that it may go well with them.
Amen.
Can I have an amen?
Amen?
So you see, there are three different blessings. You see that God giveth thee something is a blessing. Then that your days may be prolonged is another blessing. And that it may go well with you in those prolonged days is also another blessing altogether. And God has promised that all these blessings, especially those two in the middle, are hinged on what you do with the mother and father figures in your life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So you must honor your father and honor your mother if you intend to be around a long time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you intend to live on this earth and if you intend for it to be well with you, find your mother, find your father, and honor them. Hallelujah. Find your mother, find your father, and honor them. Don't walk away from your father as though he doesn't matter. And don't walk away from your mother as though she doesn't matter. The people that have been fathers and mothers to you are people that you must respect deeply. Amen. People that you must respect deeply. And anything that did not stop them from mothering or fathering you should not stop them from deserving your honor.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? So anything, you don't honor your father because he has a job. If not having a job did not stop him from fathering you, then not having a job does not disqualify him from being honored by you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Anything that did not come between him and fathering you or providing the fatherliness or whatever level or degree of fatherliness you experience for them, anything that did not stop them from doing it should not be considered when you are considering honoring or the honor that is due them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Otherwise, then you're making a mistake. What do you think? Yeah, you're making a mistake. Hallelujah. Right. So what does it mean for it to be well with someone? When it is well with someone, what does it mean? And I'm going to share that with you for a moment. And then we're going to bring the service to a close. Are you blessed already?
Oh, yes.
I'm blessed already. It's Father's Day. It's a day of blessings. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Just give me a second because I just lost my... All right. What does it mean when it is well with you? When it is well with you, you will be successful. Amen. When it is well with you, you will be what? Successful. Hallelujah. If you want to be successful, learn to honor your father and mother. Amen. If you will be successful. See, not everybody is successful at what they try to do. In life, we try to do so many things, but not everything turns out well. Isn't it? Yes. But there are so many areas of success that we need. We need to be successful with so many things in order to have a meaningful life. We need to be successful in school. We need to be successful with our careers. We need to be successful at home. And the success that we are talking about must be good success. Because the Bible also talks about success that is not good. Or talks about good success as opposed to success that is not good. Because when you are successful, it means you came through. It means you won. But you won what? Do you see what I'm saying? So it is very important that we pursue the right kind of success. And when it is well with you, it means that you are successful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number two, it means you will overcome.
Amen.
You will overcome. You will overcome. Because soon after you are born, you will realize that there are things to overcome. When you are born, you'll be lying there and you realize everybody around you is walking. You are lying there. Then you realize there's more to life than arrival. You see what I'm saying? You have arrived, but it doesn't mean everything quite yet. You will see that you need to overcome. Do you understand? For many months, you're going to try to start moving like everybody else. And when you start moving, you will see that they are walking, and you look more like the puppy in the house. You see, because the puppy seems to go on force, and you are also going on force. You see, and for you to be able to rise up and be like one of these grown-ups, you need to overcome. Overcome obstacles. Overcome falls. Overcome so many things. By the time somebody grows from being born up to as old as you are, there are so many things you overcome. You have to beat so many diseases. Think of how many times you've been sick. Yeah, and every sickness has one aim. Which is that if you just leave me alone and I manifest myself fully, my intention is to take you out. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So for you to be here means that you have overcome so many things. But there are even more things to overcome. There are more obstacles. There are more difficulties. There are more things expected and unexpected that are going to come your way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But when it is well with you, it means you will step over those things. You're going to overcome those things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're going to overcome those things. That is what it means. Nobody can tell you how many things are getting ready to show up in your life. But if you are walking with this blessing behind you, if you are walking with this blessing behind you, because no one can tell how it's going to be. No one can tell, you know, where it's going to be. No one can tell when it's going to be. But what matters is that you are walking with this blessing behind you. If the blessing of well-being is on you, you will overcome anything that shows up in your life. Amen. You will overcome any crisis in your career. You will overcome any crisis in your health. You will overcome any crisis in your family life. You will overcome any crisis on the job. Any crisis, any situation, anytime, anywhere. It just has to show up. But you will overcome it. Because there is a certain blessing behind you. And that blessing is upon you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Number three, it means you will thrive. It means you will thrive. To thrive is to flourish. It means you will do well. Do you see? It means you will blossom nicely. Hallelujah. When someone is doing well, I mean, sometimes you go outside and you can see some of the plants. You can see that they are not doing well. Jigger, they are not doing well. Especially the ones you bring inside the house. Because when you bring them inside the house, you deprive them of so many natural elements that facilitate their well-being. When those things are taken out of their lives, they thrive or try to do well for a little bit. But in time, they start to, you see that your flower starts to gradually looking like this. When you come one day, you see that it's become like that. And then it's dying because it's not thriving. Hallelujah. But you will thrive. When the blessing of well-being is upon you, you will thrive. I tell you, no matter where they put you, you find yourself doing well. You will find yourself doing well. Amen. Have you read about a guy called Joseph who had brothers who were jealous of him? Wow. They put him in a pit, you know, intending to kill him. But he overcame. God gave one of them an idea. God sent some traders to come by. Wow. Then God put the idea into one of them, his head, and told him, tell your brothers to get that boy out and sell him for some money. And they thought, wow, if our brother is going to die anyway, instead of having funeral expenses, why don't we sell him and then we make some profit? It's better to make some money than to have funeral expenses. You see what I'm saying? So they were thinking that they were smart, but they didn't know that that's God. God brought an idea, because that guy was supposed to be an overcomer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He was the overcoming type. So they dug him out of the pit. They offered him for sale to these merchants. They said to, look, how much will you give? Somebody brought a price. They negotiated, and before he knew it, he was on one of their carriages on his way to Egypt. Wow. When he gets to Egypt, this is the guy that has been sold. He gets to Egypt and he's for sale. He's just out there. So many prisoners. Everybody is in the market. They are selling human beings. You see, then here comes someone who is shopping for the king. And he sets his eyes on the guy. And he checks his muscles and, you know, trying to assess his muscle density and, you know, build density and trying to see if this guy can really work. And he looks at him and somehow, I mean, he feels like this is the right guy. Wow. So he says, I want this one. Wow. Another guy puts his head in there and says, no, not that one. This one. That's the one I want. And they take him to the king's house. Wow. So can you imagine what was supposed to be put him in a worse situation? He's now in the king's house. There was famine around that time. And he was now going to be nourished and be eating well. Wow. While his brothers were starving in the wilderness. It is fantastic how God blesses people when the blessing of well-being is upon you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Even what was meant for your evil will turn out to push you upwards and push you forward. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So this boy ends up in this palace, and then another trap is set for him. Then he escapes the trap and ends up in jail. But when he ends up in jail, the jailer puts him in charge of the prisons. Now, being in prison has become a leadership training course for him. Wow. So instead of going to prison like a prisoner, he's now been put in charge of the whole prison. He's managing the prisoners. He's managing their schedules. Wow. He's saying which prisoner is going to dig the pits tomorrow. Which one is cooking lunch tomorrow? Which one is cooking? You see, a long time ago, a relative of mine, you know, was in some situation, and then the person had to stay in the jailhouse for a few days. You know, and this relative was, it was a she. She told us that the guys would cook for them. You know, they would cook in the men's prison and carry it to the women's prison. I don't know if that was part of the punishment. To have the prisoner guys be the ones who cook the food and take it to the female prisoners. You know, and this was the sort of thing that Joseph was managing. And he was determining who is cooking what, you know, the logistics in the prison, how much food is coming in, how much food they need to order this. The beans is finished. They need to order some beans and then some rice and then pork and then beef, you know, and then please check that other supplier. And he's supposed to be in prison. Do you see? Not knowing that from the prison, the guy is going now to become prime minister. And so the prison was actually his first lessons in leadership. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because when the blessing of well-being is upon you, you'll be surprised how God converts your circumstances and turns them round in your favor, no matter where you are, no matter what is going on in your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is a blessing you shouldn't live without. Do not live or exist without the blessing of well-being. Hallelujah. So, you see, this guy ends up doing very well, and in the end, he becomes a prime minister. He's doing so well that when his brothers come later on, they are ashamed, and he tells them, listen, it wasn't you. He says, I know enough now to understand that you meant it for my evil, but God also had a plan. And God meant it for my good. In fact, because I see the hand of God in what you did, it's so easy for me to forgive you. Wow. He said, I don't hold it against you. I'll pay you to sell me to Egypt all over again. Yeah, the way things had turned out, Joseph was thinking, listen, if I had it to do over again, I will pay you to sell me to Egypt. Because selling me into Egypt has worked out for my good. I mean, look at me and look at you. I was sold. You were not sold. But look at me and look at you. You are the one that's come to me for food now. You are the one that doesn't have anywhere to stay. You are the one who doesn't have food to eat. And yet I'm the one who was sold. Isn't it fantastic? It is because a certain blessing was upon my life. You know, the Bible says Joseph was his father's favorite. He was his father's favorite. To be your father's favorite, you must be doing something right. I don't think he was challenging his father. I don't think he was arguing with his father. I don't think he was, you know, when his father would give him instructions, he was getting sneaky around it. No, his father rather trusted him. Joseph was the kind of person who would come and share with the father what the other brothers are discussing. That's why the brothers didn't like him. And he was having dreams and so on, and he would share the dreams. His father would think about the dreams. The brothers would just get jealous about it. It's like your daddy's favorite, you know, and so what? Clear off, you know, and were behaving like that. But in the end, because he was standing in a good place, the blessing was on his side. Amen. And when blessing is on your side, no matter what happens, no matter how they deal the cards, you still end up coming out, coming on top. Amen. And doing well. Hallelujah. So don't live without it. Hallelujah. Another meaning of well-being is that you will flower. You will flower. You will flower. Hallelujah. Flower, a flower is a symbol of beauty. Hallelujah. Sometimes they use it to describe ladies and they say she's past or within the flower of her age. That means she's in the time when, you know, the peak of her looks. Do you understand? Yeah, the peak of the looks. You see, because ladies are attractive externally and internally, you know. And when you start out, the external attraction is what brings people to you. But as you grow and become older and older, it is the internal attraction that takes over. Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why the Bible says the women of old, the Bible says they used to adorn themselves not with braids and so on, but with the meek and quiet spirit, which before God is of great price. Wow. Do you understand? So there is a point in your life where your character and your personality, what you are inside, becomes more important than what your looks are like on the outside. Are you getting what I'm saying? And some people don't get the balance right. They live on the external looks until it winds down. Do you see? Then realize that they didn't develop anything internally to take over from that point. So then suddenly you see that you are just left with nothing. You see what I'm saying? So develop the inner beauty that makes people do well. Hallelujah. Amen. When that blessing is upon you, you will flower. Amen. Hallelujah. Another one is you will multiply. You will multiply. When it is well with you, you will multiply. You will multiply. If you have a business, it will grow. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have a church like this one, it will grow. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The blessing of well-being is upon us. Amen. And so in this church, we'll multiply. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. A day is going to come when you will not have a place to sit. Amen. If you don't come early enough. Hallelujah. Amen. You should have faith and believe it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's coming. Amen. You will multiply. Amen. You will not be alone. You will not be by yourself forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Today you may be one, single. But a day is coming. You have to cook for two. Then soon you cook for three. Amen. Then you have to cook for four. Amen. Then you have to cook for five. And if we don't stop you, you just keep going and keep going. And your suspense get larger and larger. Because the blessing of well-being has come upon you. Hallelujah. Amen. You will multiply. You will not be by yourself. By the grace of God. Hallelujah. Another meaning is, when it is well with you, you will recover. You will recover. You will recover. When the enemy hits you with a blow, see, the Lord never promised that you will not get hit with a blow. Do you understand? Yes. The Bible says, you will be delivered. Do you understand? You will be delivered from it. So, when the enemy hits you with a blow and turns around to go, walk away, thinking he just got you and is finished with you finally, he will be surprised that you were only playing dead. Because you're going to rise up again. Amen. You will bounce back. You will recover. Amen. I say you will bounce back. You will recover.
Amen.
Have you read about a gentleman in the Bible called Samson?
Wow.
See, Samson went to play some games with the devil. And then he told them the secret to his strength. You shouldn't tell anyone the secret to your strength. But Samson did. He told his secret to his strength to a woman that he liked. You see, and then the woman betrayed him and told his enemies what his secret was. Not knowing that his secret was his hairstyle. Hairstyles have been powerful for a long time. Hallelujah. So the hairstyle was where the power was. And so the enemy zoomed in on the hairstyle and took it all out. He just took the cut all his hair off. And the people felt that now we've got him. Because they, when they took his hair off, they realized that the guy had actually become weak physically. He couldn't do what he could do before. But what they didn't know is that the hair of Samson was beginning to grow again. See, there was a day when they assembled together and they brought Samson. They took out his eyes. You know, they really thought they are finished with the guy once and for all. The long-haired man now had short hair. And they brought him to the place. They thought he was finished. They thought it was over. But when you are dealing with someone who has a blessing upon his life, you should be careful not to declare a win for yourself too quickly. Do you understand? Not to say that you have won and that he is lost. Because when someone is blessed, you just don't know when they will rise up again. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And to their surprise, the Bible says that the hairs of Samson began to grow again. And with the growing of the hairs was the growing of his strength. A recovery of what he lost was coming back to him. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that made a big difference. On that day, the Bible says Samson killed more people than he had killed across his entire life.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
You will recover.
Amen.
I don't know what the enemy has taken from you. But because God and the blessing of well-being is upon you, you will recover.
Amen.
He may have stolen a relationship. You will recover.
Amen.
He may have stolen your self-esteem. You will recover.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? He may have taken your finances. You will recover.
Amen.
Even your health. You will recover.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Amen.
Because that blessing that makes people do well is upon you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The next one is that it means you will hit it big. Big. And the next one, you will prosper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then another one is that you will get ahead. You will get ahead. And another one is that you will win. And you will expand. Hallelujah. So these are some of the meanings of the statement that it will be well with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Right. Well, our time is up already. I was going to share with you about the other one, the second blessing, which is that you will live long. But time will not allow us. So next week, I'll share with you about the blessing of living long. Hallelujah. But I believe it is well with you. Tell your neighbor, it is well with me. Tell that person, you may not see it. I may not look like it. But there's a blessing upon my life. Because I'm the type that honors fathers. So there's a blessing of well-being upon me. I'm guaranteed to do well. By the grace of God. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And let's pray this Father's Day afternoon. Take a moment just before we close to pray for the Father, your father or your father figures, the people in your life who have been fatherly to you, the people God has used to bless you and to play the role of a father in your life. Just take a moment to pray for them today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are grateful. Just pray, everybody. And just say, Lord, bless him. Keep him. Strengthen him. And especially pray that God will preserve your relationship with them. That relationship is a very important relationship. It holds the key to your well-being. It holds the key to your well-being. It holds the key to your well-being. It will not be well with you if you lose that relationship. If that relationship turns sour, if it becomes anything else than what it should be, your life is at risk. You cannot be saved by your dreams. You cannot be saved from it by doing well in school. You cannot be saved by your connections. You cannot be saved by knowing people in high places. That will not help. Because it's a spiritual force that will be against you. And you are not likely to be able to win a battle against a spiritual force. So pray, everybody. And say, Lord, please help me to keep that relationship. Help me to preserve that relationship. Help me, oh God, to keep honoring, holding in high esteem, honoring with substance, blessing, honoring the father figures in my life. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon my life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Finally, as we close, I just want to give you an opportunity to rededicate your life to Christ or to give your life to Christ today. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to know Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. I want to take things on a very personal level with Jesus and with God. God is here and He can also hear you and He wants to help you. So if you're here and that is your prayer, I want you to quietly raise up your right hand. I'm going to pray for you. You want to have that personal relationship with God. You want Jesus to be your Lord. You want your sins to be forgiven. And you want Christ to be Lord over your life. Just raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. God bless you. I see your hands. God bless you. You know, just do one more thing. Just meet me right here. Just come to me right here. Let me pray with you. Just come. Your hand is up there. Just come. Come to me. Just come and stand right here. I just want to pray with you. Right? Yes. Thank you, Lord. While every eye is still closed, we just want to say this prayer together, everybody. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Say, I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. Help me to live for you, Jesus. Help me to live for you, Jesus. From today, you are my Lord. You are my Master. I no longer live unto the devil. I live for Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Now let me pray for you. Father, thank you for these ones who have boldly stepped forward to identify with you and to say, I want a relationship with Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that as they have prayed, so will it be. May you hear from above and answer these prayers. Draw these ones close to you, Lord. Never let them go. In the name of Jesus, I pray that they will be established and deeply rooted in the things of Christ. Bless them with that relationship with you that you have given to the rest of us. Bless them, anoint them, choose them, and use them for your glory. Thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.